You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Two nine says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We are in a series, and the series is culminating today. You are. This series identifying who we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, may the word that we read today become revelation to us. May it not just be what we take in as information, but may it manifest as revelation for all of us. We bless you, Lord God, because we know that what we receive from you is always true. Lord, we ask that you would help us to let go of our understanding and our ability to do and grasp a hold of the bigness that is you. In this corporate setting, let us encourage one another toward greater living in you. In Jesus' name. And everyone would say, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There are things that we have processed in this series that really has not been a series, but this conversation that we have been having. And today's title, the final title, which is kind of interesting in all of this process that we have been doing this morning in our gathering and our corporate setting, and the emotions that have, I'm sure, have run rampant in all of us for various reasons, myself included, to come to this. Come to this understanding, myself included in this, that this is the title. You are not God. But you are all that and a bag of chips. You are not God, but you are all that. There are things that have been stolen from us, not just in terms of identity, but in terms of purpose. And we talked about this in the last couple of times together, that our identity is not about our personalities. It's not about the things that we are able to produce in and of ourselves. But who we are is more about what God created us to do than who we are and the person that manifests here on earth. Our manifestation, there is a duality to us. We are both natural and we are spirit. And many times while we are in a corporate setting, we emphasize and we push the aspect of spiritual growth. But for you and I as people, we have to understand that we not only should grow spiritually, but we should also grow in how we manage this body. You are the temple of God, and that this temple, this natural body, must operate in a level of sanctification and holiness. We're not talking religion. We're talking about operation due to your purpose. That as a child of God, we're not here just to say yes to Jesus and make it into heaven, but we are to complete the purpose that God has for us, why he even thought of us, forming us, knowing us before he formed us, forming us, placing us here on planet Earth, and saying that you are here because you are a purpose to be completed until I return. Say, I am a purpose. See, we all identify with the aspect of our person, our identities, the personalities, the things that, our backgrounds and all of these things. But when it comes down to it, God is not so much concerned about how you've developed and who you've developed into. Because you and I, we were supposed to die. And the life that we live now, we're supposed to live in Christ. His identity is our identity. And so the variety of us, who we are in person, that person doesn't exist. So in this body is a spirit that has been given a purpose, and the only thing that we are required now to do is to manifest the purpose of God while we are here. Because the person of us, we have our own agenda. We have our own likes and dislikes. We have our own feelings. We have our own thoughts. There are people that we like when we don't like. People we want to be around and we don't want to be around. We have connections that we've made before getting serious about our relationship with God. And we're learning how to manage that, but we've been trying to manage it with our personality, and that has not been working. And it's been frustrating us. And the Lord is saying, it's because you're trying to make things make sense in the aspect of your person, and you have not yet identified your purpose. And the world is teaching us, and there are things that we are processing in the world that says, well, let's find out who you are. Let's find out why you've gotten to this place so that you can move on in the person that you're supposed to be. And all of those things, while good and identification, Jesus died for all of that. He took care of that. The moment that you said yes, all those stripes that were bore, all of the things, all of the peace that you needed, it happened the moment you said yes to Jesus. What does that mean? That means that I have no more pain and I have no more frustration. Yes, that is correct. You have no more pain. You have no more frustration. But you're going to have to allow now for this body to come into subjection to what is already manifest in the spirit. And the way that you do that is not identifying with now the new life in the person of who you are. You're supposed to identify it in the person of Jesus Christ. So it's not so much what would Jesus do alone, but what would Jesus do while he is in me? His identity, his person, and in that, what he does for us as individuals, the variety that is us, he says, there's a purpose that I have for you that she can't fulfill. There's a purpose that I have for you. And even in the midst of what you're dealing with right now, there is a purpose to all of this so that, what we're getting ready to talk about, so that people will know that I am God. See, our struggle is we are trying to be God. Now, a lot of us are like, well, no, Pastor, I'm not trying to be God. Well, let me just say this, that you have to understand, going back to the beginning with the enemy, his whole problem was he disconnected from his purpose and started getting into his personality. That the glory of God, that the manifestation of God through him, it came out in the form of what would be assumed music. He was ahead of the worship. God's presence and power flowed through him, and worship came out of him. He was an instrument. His purpose was to introduce worship, but he got caught up because now he started thinking less about his purpose and started thinking more about his person. Come on, y'all. Am I talking to... And so too, that we now have the presence of God that lives in us, and there's a manifestation of God that needs to come out of us in form of a purpose. And we're trying to make ourselves through our personality. Well, God, I don't want to do that. Well, God, I don't like that. Well, God, I don't want to go to that church anymore. Well, God, I don't, and somehow we think that there is a partnership here. Like the enemy thought that somehow there was a partnership. Look at your neighbor and say, there's not a partnership. Y'all said that all low. It's not a partnership. It's not a partnership. Jesus is Lord. He's Savior and he's Lord. Which means that what he says goes, and what he says is to us in the you are not me. In that you are not here to make decisions about your purpose. Because what you and I will do is that we will, here's my word, we will amalgamate our person with our purpose. And sometimes, and we learned this yesterday in our, yes, that was a good word, wasn't it? Don't ask me to spell it, but And it basically means is that we're trying to join the two together that are not supposed to be together. Our person with our purpose. And we learned yesterday in the men's meeting that this gangster, this real life gangster from New York, he thought that his purpose was to, and his identity was to be this tough guy, because his environment and everything that he came up in would cause him to have to do things and behave a certain way because he saw what he didn't have. And so his personality, everything was driven toward this purpose that was to be a tough guy, a wise guy. But the end result, wise guy, ended up in jail, in prison, locked down, and the person realized this is not what the plan was. And it wasn't until he said yes to Jesus that he realized that there is this soft-hearted guy who has a care and concern for the impoverished kids in Africa. What? And it, listen, y'all not be here. This Italian from New York who grew up separated and segregated from blacks and Hispanics has had a soft spot in his purpose for African children and cried yesterday, guys. Cried because he was passionate about the purpose that God showed him. You can't put that person with that purpose in the flesh. And so what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that we have to tread lightly in trying to bring together our personality with what it is that God may have for us to do, because they may not gel. Amen. Thus what Paul says, daily I die. Why? Because my personality may say I ain't doing that. But my purpose says, but that's what God says, this is what I made you for. My Lord. Y'all quiet. I understand. Because we've been taught that somehow there's an equality of who I am. If I have the ability to sing, then obviously you should be singing for the Lord. That may not be the case. You might be needing to serve in children. Okay, I'm going to back up off there. No, the point and the reality of it is that in all that we are not God. And that in the pursuit of our lives, many of the things that we do in the terms of our employment and the issues that we run into is that we are trying to tie our purpose into our person and our personality. And those things don't necessarily mean that they're going to go together, which is why we ought to be led by our spirit in regards to, Lord, what do you want to have happen with this temple? Which is why we need to take care of ourselves, because some of you, I'm just joking now, but some of you are supposed to be mountain climbers, but you have a hard time getting up the hill. Because you're not taking care of your temple. I hope y'all hearing what I'm saying. That there are some of us who have challenges. We have challenges in our bodies, and we think that that's a limitation. But you don't understand that you don't have to. It doesn't have to make sense to your person. All you have to do is be open to what it is that God would have you to do in purpose, and you will do incredible things for Him. Why? Because the Scripture here says, "You and I, we were chosen." Jesus, you are chosen. Not just in spirit. We already dealt with and continue to deal with that. But in your natural self, God says in all of your mess ups and in all of the aspects of you trying to appropriate personality, I chose you because of what I placed in you. And I need you to come in agreement with me that which is in you, we want to bring that out of you. What is that? That purpose, so that we can get what needs to get done here on planet Earth. My God. I know multiple questions. Pastor, what is my purpose? I don't know. Why? I am not God. Can God reveal to me some of the things that I begin to see in you and help and guide you and direct you? Yes, because I'm a shepherd. My job is to guide and direct, not tell you what to do. Oh, it got quiet in here again. Why? Because the Spirit of God resides in you. And when you are submitted to him, then the things that I say to you and the direction that I give you, it's not about the man in a position and you're listening through your flesh, because it's got to be comfortable with your personality. Because there are some things that I'm going to say to you and tell you to do, or instruction in God, you're not going to want to do. And if we stay in that aspect of where I have to be in agreement in terms of how I feel in my person, then what you'll do is you'll go find another church where they let you get away with that foolishness. And you'll spend a lifetime searching for a purpose or fall into something that's really not you, but because it's comfortable with your personality and you get to boss people around. Oh, I'm sorry. I love y'all. I'm going to tell the truth, but I need us to understand that. Because we see this. We see this in the body of Christ. We see these things happening, and we're so personality driven in regards to what I'm supposed to do in the church that we miss God's call for what we're supposed to be doing. And the call, it's so foreign to who we are as a person that there's no way. That this guy from the Bronx, from the South Bronx, should be on a platform preaching as a preacher. Because this was not the plan. See, y'all playing. This was not the plan, y'all. My personality was driven for something totally different. Listen, my gifts and talents, I thought was driven for a whole different plan. And God said no. And he couldn't just say no to me. He had to trick me. Wow, y'all, could y'all loosen up a little bit? We know God doesn't trick us, but you know, he knows us. He knows when we'll say yes, and he knows where you're going to be hard-headed, but he's God. So he does stuff to just, and it feels good, and then you wake up and you realize, I'm on a platform, and there's a whole bunch of people looking at you, and you're preaching. Whoa. Pastor, when did you feel you were called? I never felt I was called. When did you know? I don't know. It just happened. I'm telling you the truth. One minute I'm on the stage rapping, and next minute I'm standing in front of kids talking to them, and then I'm talking to their parents, and then all of a sudden things happen the way God wanted it to happen, although I didn't necessarily agree with that in my person. It happened, but in the purpose, I realized there's a bigger picture here going, and I gotta go with that. I don't know why I gotta go that way, but I gotta go that way. When did you know? I didn't know. It just happened. And many of us are waiting for God to just like, dunk. And he's not doing that. He's guiding you and directing you and moving you, because it's his temple. Oh, I got to do this. Brother Shannon, come in. I got to do this. God just gave this to me, and we're going to get out of here. Would you just come right here? The title of the message is, I am not God, but for the sake of illustration, I'm God right now. And this is my temple. And what we wanting God to do is just to take his word and just like look for a slot and just slide it in. That way we know everything that we're supposed to do, but the Lord is not doing that to us. He's more so doing this. Would you hold that right there and hold it in front of you? And as you are looking and reading his word, he's guiding and he's directing and he's leading and he's stopping. Oh, there's a woman there. You don't want that because you're married. Go this way because she is not good for you. All right, now turn this way because she's here. We're going to go right past her and then we're going to come back on path because she tried to distract you and your head is in the word, but you're with me and walking with me. And when I tell you to stop, and you can feel me telling you to stop, you'll stop. And when I say go ahead, you'll feel that gentle nudge. And then when you try to resist, guess what? I'm God. I will grab you by your collar and you will go. If you are willing. See, because his head is still in the word. But the moment he starts taking his attention from the word, now he's looking at where he's going, and he may not like where he's going, and he will decide to turn around and go where he, and I'm trying to get him to go this way, and he's resisting because he's not in the word. He's got the word, but he's not looking at the word, and he's resisting, and he's pulling against me, but I'm God. This is going to hurt you every time you go that way. Doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that hurt? It hurts. Yeah. And as long as his confession is with me, he'll feel that uncomfortableness of what he wants to do in the natural world based upon what he's seeing and not looking at the word, but what he's seeing around him and saying in his personality, I'm not going that way. You don't want to go that way. Go do something different because I'm leading you that way, but you don't want to go that way. So you're going to go someplace else. And I'm saying, no, you need to go this way. And he sees that I want to go that way because I see that. And what God is trying to do is get us back into his word. So that we are not distracted and we can go wherever he leads us because we're trusting him. And even though you don't see where I'm leading you, you know where I'm leading you is right. Stopping you when I need to stop you. Backing you up when I need to back you up. Freezing you when I need to freeze you because you have been chosen. Now, one of the issues that we run into in life is that not only do we take our attention away from the word, that's great. You just close it up. And now you're looking, and now you're going where you want to go. And what the Lord will do, seemingly, is I will not presume to understand how God is with us, but there are times where we want to do our own thing, and he will just let us do our own thing. Now you just out there. Now you're just out there, and what you and I, we all need to do is we need to go right back to that place where we left him. Get right back in that word. This guy, he's good. That's why I use it. Get right back into position so my presence is with you, because you'll feel his presence, and you can get back to being led by your spirit. Because you are chosen by God. And your job and my job is not to look at trying to see where we're going, because sometimes where he's leading us, it doesn't look good. And there are things that are happening around us called circumstances that do not only look good, they don't feel good, and they're real. They're not fake. They're not, oh, that's not really happening. Sometimes it's really happening. Sometimes it's really going down, and it looks bad. And that's why we need to get our head right. And sometimes we got to bring it closer. Amen. And not only are we to be the individuals listening and hearers of the word, but doing what the word says. And so I say amen to that. You are not God, but you all that. And the aspect of God leading you where he wants you is all about faith. He says, you are a chosen generation. Can I have my Bible back, please? Thanks. You are a royal... God bless you. Thank you, sir. You are a royal priesthood. But this whole issue of royalty, I think we miss the point. We miss the fact that the blood of Jesus, it washes our sins away. We hear this in church. But royalty, the only way you can identify with royalty is if there is royal blood in you. I said, not just over you. See, the blood of Jesus washes our sin. And that's kind of the covering. The royal blood is now in you. Are y'all following what I'm saying? This was kind of a revelation to me. Anyway, we can't just think that this is about the spiritual washing, but we're talking about our bodies. And so now there is royal blood that courses through us. And as royalty, there is a way that I must conduct myself. I can't. Not because I'm better than, but because of whose I am. I cannot connect myself to commoners. Now watch this, because a lot of times we think it's about people, but God is trying to get everybody. When I speak of the issue of connecting myself to commoners, I'm speaking of the devil and his horde. I'm speaking of the devil and the things that he presents to us in our bodies that are temptations to us that we say, yeah, I can do that. No, you can't, because as royal people, you can't connect yourselves with common practices. Wow. I'm not going to take long, but I need y'all to grasp a hold of who you are. You ended up, you are not God, but you are a child of God. You are not God, but you are a son and daughter of the living God. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, his blood that was shed for you not only washes your sin away, but now it courses through you because he is in you. Royalty. Like universal. Call the planets into being. Royalty. The creator of the universe. Royalty. The just say the word and believe and not doubt, and that which you say, if it lines up with what I've said, it will happen. Yeah. Royalty. Royalty. In the natural, for those of us who are familiar with having kings and queens, or the whole premise of what goes on in England, the queen doesn't worry about anything. She is not concerned with little common things that are happening around her in the circle. She's not worried about that because there are things in place that all she needs to do is give a word. Now, I mean, look, from the bigger political side, we understand that she doesn't have the power that she used to back in the day. But the reality of it is she's still the queen. By virtue of the blood that courses through her body. She may not have the powers that she would have maybe 100 years ago, but she's still the queen. And because of the blood that courses through her body, there's a reverence and a respect that the people have, because she emboldens what we aspire to be. God didn't catch that. The premise of her royalty for all of her people say, well, why are y'all keeping them in place and keeping them in houses and giving them stuff for free? And why are you doing that? Because they are symbolic of who we are as a people. And the scripture tells us about ourselves, our identity, no, about our purpose. You are ambassadors of Christ. And as royalty, with that royal blood flowing through you, giving you life, where you go, people, you may not feel like you have power, but simply because you are a child of God, there is and should be a reverence. Why are you respecting me? Why are you respecting my opinion? Why are you asking me about things pertaining to life? Do I look like I have the answers? And the answer would be yes. You look like you have the answers. You carry yourself like you know something that I don't know. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Why this may be because we don't carry ourselves like we ought to. We carry ourselves like the commoners, the spirits that drive these individuals. We want to try to fit into what they're doing instead of them coming and saying, who are you? Some of us have experienced this, that there's this, look, y'all see me, this is cool, I like dressing up, but most times I'm comfortable with a hat to the back, my Jordans on, and just doing my thing. And you know what? What I wear on the outside, it has absolutely no bearing on what I've experienced with people who come to me. And Miss Tracy will say this all the time. I run into people and they say, you look like somebody. Duh. But that's not what they're saying. That's not what they're saying. They're seeing something in the person of God, in the person of God in me, and it draws them. And we know that it's the Spirit that does the drawing. And more of us need to begin to seek after the purpose of God in our life in terms of just how we carry ourselves, because there are people who are waiting on New York again, who are waiting in eager expectation, Romans, y'all, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. And we think that revelation is just when Jesus comes back. He's talking about it jumping off right here, right now, where you go to school, where you go to work. You and I, we don't have time. This is our personality. We don't have time to cop an attitude because people are acting the fool and we don't need to be around them. No, this is the opportunity for royalty to step up and say, okay, if nobody else is going to take the lead here, I know what I need to do. What do you need to do? I need to be be. God will bring what you need when you need it in terms of wisdom, words, whatever is needed. You can be what he created you to be. How come, girl, how come you don't give it up? Because you are not worthy. See, y'all playing now. If you knew whose you were and the purpose and the function of who you are as royalty, if he's got to ask you why you are not giving it up, he is not worthy. I know that sounds arrogant, but he's trying to get at the person and you are working on the purpose. Did y'all catch that, man? Say again, he's focused on the person. He's trying to get with the body, but the body don't belong to you. He's trying to get at the person and you're working on the purpose. And when he's coming at you, trying to get at you, he doesn't care anything about you because you are not person and personality. You are purpose. What are you supposed to get accomplished? He don't care about that. Oh my. I know most of those of you who are mature, but young ladies, I need y'all to know. Y'all to know. You know what? You know when guys will start to act right? When you come to agreement with God in regards to how precious you are and the purpose that he created you to be. The purpose. We work so much on our personalities. That's why the world pushes the makeup and the clothes and all of these things, because we want them to be attracted to us. And that man that is made for you, he's supposed to be attracted to the purpose, because your purpose and his purpose is supposed to come together and fulfill kingdom building. And if it doesn't happen that way, we got Houston. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This is not a game. Because life is not a game. We live in, and those of you who transition from being children to young adults, you realize things, bills got to be paid. And all of the things that come with life, and the more that we experience life, we focus so much on our person and not our person, our purpose in God, that we miss his plan until we get a whole lot older and we realize, oh, I should have had a V8. What that means is that I should have been taking care of what was really important at a younger age, so that I wouldn't be dealing with all of this drama that I'm dealing with now. Come on, some of y'all a little bit older, y'all know what I'm talking about. If I knew then what I know now, right? But God is saying, but I'm letting you know now. Don't fall into that. Well, I'm just going to do my young thing first. Because right now, the enemy's not playing. He's doing his part. I mean, come on, y'all. Ebola. Really? Really? Yes, really. Why? Because he realizes that in the church, there is a transformation that God is fighting for. And he's saying, stop playing church and be church. That's a purpose. That's not a personality. That's a purpose. Be the church. And all of the power that is supposed to come through the church. I need y'all to manifest, because I'm trying to do something in the earth. And I'm only going to do it through you. Lord, how come lightning is not coming down and striking people? Now, I'm being facetious here, but I just want y'all to think about it. The reason why lightning is not coming down striking people, because you and I, we ain't calling for it. Wow, look, see, y'all looking at me like I'm strange, but if you read in the book of 1 Kings, Elisha, when there was a challenge of all of these prophets, false prophets, what did my brother do? He let them do they cutting and dancing and all that, and nothing happened, and what did he call down? Fire, y'all. And we know that it wasn't him, but the God in him to fulfill a purpose, to let them catch, no, there's only one true God. And how he manifested himself, through the prophet who called down the fire. And I'm saying, yo, what's going on today, y'all? What are we calling down? What are we calling out? We crying about us. And it's like, but you're not alive. We crying about our feelings, and the Lord says, but I died so that you would have peace. You ain't got to trip off of them, him, her. Why are you tripping? Well, let's find out what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be doing it instead of who you are and how you feel. Preaching to myself. Y'all still love me? How many of y'all gonna come tonight? See? Let me read y'all a couple of scriptures, and I'm gonna land with this. He says that you are chosen, you are royal. He said you are holy nation. I want y'all to take notice of it. You are chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. No, that's not singular. That's collective. That's corporate. That's collectively. You are royal priesthood. You are holy nation. And that means that there's this mindset that the Lord is wanting for us to get together. Together. Individually, yes, but it's this corporate, this together mindset that when we go all out, we go all out together. We're all in together. We are moving forward in purpose together. That's why this whole thing of the church and what Jesus did in terms of formulating the church is so that we would be one in our variety, together in our multiplicity. Ooh. Wait. That's a real word. I'll let you know when it's not a real word, but we are called together to be in this purpose, the church. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And the whole premise of holiness is this rightness with God. God being right, and I'm right because I am in him and he is in me. I am separate and I'm sanctified, not religiously, but in terms of purpose. I can't do all the things that I want to do because it won't look like and reflect who he is. Did y'all catch that? I can't do everything that I want to do because it doesn't reflect who he is. Can't be every place. Unless he directs me, I can't be every place. I can't be around that atmosphere because I may not be mature in my faith yet to contend with the real enemy who has a purpose in that. And I may not be mature enough, so I have to separate myself. It's not that I don't like the people. I'm cool with the people, but the spirits that motivate those people, I can't be around because I'm not mature enough, and I'll get sucked right back in to being common. And I ain't got time to be common. I don't have time to be, because that will just steal from me what it is that God intends for me in purpose. Jesus. God's special possession. Some translations say a peculiar people. Something wrong with you. No, it just means that you are not to look, to be, to talk, to carry yourself like people who don't have God. In where? In every area of your life. In every area of your life. You're to be peculiar. Your actions first are motivated by the leading of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, I said this yesterday to the man. God is a comedian. But many times the thing that he finds funny, we don't find funny. But it's funny it's funny to God because it's like you don't realize what you have. And you don't realize that I've already seen what you are to become. So as you're struggling with this thing, it's comedy to me because it's like that's really not the fight. that right there that you're battling with in your flesh, that's really not your fight. The fight that you are going to be in, I need you to win this one so that you'll be prepared for what's really coming. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Your peculiar people, God's special possession. Then this is what I want to get, and we're going to land here. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Other translations speak about his glory, that that we would glorify him. And I looked up the word glory, and it speaks about the Hebrew says his weightiness. His heaviness. You know, I'm not trying to be funny, man. Anybody ever, you know, you're on a plane and there are people who are just big. And I'm not talking about heavy. I'm talking about like muscle bound people, you know, just big. They're just big. The seats are not made for them. And so now you got to sit next to them. And they're already in the seat. And you got to squeeze past them. And as you're squeezing, you feel their arm, and their arm just won't, they put their arm on the armrest, and you trying to put your arm in, you just feel the weight, and it's like, this, that's not fair. I can't even move their arm. They're just heavy. They're just weighty. They're just big, and they're just not going to be moved. You're not going to move them. Anthony Jr., stand up. Stand up, sir. Yes, stand up. Stand up. Anthony Jr. is strong, but he's not going to move a weighty individual in the natural. He's just not going to do it. And this is how we, watch this. This is how we perceive ourselves. But do you not understand that you carry in you a heavier presence that moves mountains? Thank you, sir. You may be seated. See, we look at the outward, but God says he looks at the inward. And so my question is, when God looks inside of you, does he find himself? Let me read you something. And I love this whole presence of God. The glory of God is, in fact, his presence, his heaviness, his ability to basically influence. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, it says this: now the appearance of the glory or the weight of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And when you go on to read that, the people were afraid. God showed up, and his glory was so heavy and so imposing that it was like, Moses, you go. You talk to him, come back and let us know what he said. Because even while he's speaking, the ground is shaking. Lord help us. We know not what we have. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is, meaning Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And he lives in us. And he lives in us. John 17:4-5, Jesus speaking, say, I glorified you on earth. In other words, I manifested your weightiness and your heaviness and your presence on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus is saying that same glory that was up there, I manifested it. Watch this. Listen, y'all, because this is the point. If we are to be like Jesus, what Jesus is saying here is what we need to be doing, that I would glorify you, what I would show your weightiness everywhere I go, because I am on a mission to accomplish the work that you set for me to do. Jesus wasn't about his personality. He was about his purpose. And our job, our responsibility, why am I here in church? Why am I making the time or taking the time? I could be watching football. I could be sleeping. Why am I here? Why? Because I am here to continue to learn how to better manifest, glorify, show the weight of God in this world. I'm here to learn that, because my own weight, I'm lightweight. My own weight, I'm tossed by every sea of doctrine. If I'm not careful and I'm looking in the natural, whatever people say about how I'm supposed to be, I'll be convinced that, oh, well, it's okay for certain people to be in the church and be leaders in the church, even though that the things that they're doing is sin. Everybody else is accepting it, so I guess we ought to just be nice, and we ought to be politically correct, and we ought not. We ought to be royal priesthood. We ought to be God's chosen, because God didn't choose sin. So when we hear the arguments about, you know, well, you got to accept, and certain leaders saying, well, you know, well, we have policies, but, you know, it's you know, we can't fight against it. And who am I to judge? I'm like, you know what? Houston, where is God? We got to stop playing. All right, last verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. I love this. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever you find yourself doing, not being, but doing, do it all so that the weight and the heaviness and the presence and the power of God is fully manifest and shown. Whatever you do, make sure that it's God that they see. So that when you and I, we stand before him, or when we're praying and he's finally bringing us to the end of whatever it is that we are, we can say, I glorified you, Lord, because I accomplished the work that you set for me to do. And as he promises us in Revelation, we will be glorified. You will carry weight, because guess what, y'all? There's coming a time where we're going to come back as sons and daughters of God to judge the earth. And if you coming back and you ain't carrying no weight, my God, all right, we'll back up off of that. But this thing about us and who we are is so important to recognize. It's not about, if I don't leave you with anything, I have to leave you with this. It's not about your person. It's about your purpose. It's about your purpose. And anything that you do, everything that you do, there should come with it the presence, the weight, the heaviness of God in your life. If there's no weight, then you ain't moving nothing. You're not intimidating the devil. The devil don't care about you. You, in his eyes, you are easily manipulated. But the God in you, if he has to encounter that, he knows, I want no parts of you because of what you do. Amen. I thank God for you guys.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.